So Jesus, we invite you into our lives this morning. We invite you into our journeys. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you'd help us to truly, truly live for you in Jesus' name. I want to share a few thoughts out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This could be a few weeks in the making, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if we're going to be a people that, you know, works at Vons and is, you know, checking people out with their groceries, and if we're going to be an effective barista manager at Starbucks, if we're going to work at Kaiser Permanente, if we're going to work and you fill in the blank and truly be an effective witness for the goodness of God, then we have to reprogram how we think about our lives and about what we contend for every single day. And this is a part of what God's been challenging me with personally, because I struggle in my own journey with sometimes right thinking, correct thinking. How about you? I know I'm probably the only one in the room that ever has these moments when you feel like you're just a big dork when it comes to the kingdom. Like, how come you hear a story someone shares, you're like, man, how come I can't, why are my stories so blah? Right? Right? I mean, Sean Bowles shows up and he stands here and he's telling a story like, are you kidding me? And it's really not because Sean Bowles is any more spiritual than anyone in this room. He might be, I don't know. But it's not that as much as it's an awareness. It's an awareness. It's a recognition that in the moment, Holy Spirit is there. It's called the paraclete. He is there closer than a brother. He stands right by your side, ready to whisper in your ear what needs to be spoken so you can bring the kingdom of heaven to earth in the moment and bring life, potential life changing. Like that video that's been posted on Facebook, who in the world knows how many people have been affected by the praying of this church for someone we've never met, take a video of on a phone and they post it on Facebook. That's what I'm talking about. That's seizing the day. That's seizing the carpe diem moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself, I like how the ESV renders that. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. The word sanctify, set you apart, not a little bit, but completely, holy. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who calls you is faithful. Now check this out. It says, he will surely do it. He will surely do it. I want to speak on the topic for a while. I don't know how long, but on this idea that God wants to somehow convince us that he has redeemed not only our spirit man at the moment of salvation when Christ came into our lives. How many understand that before Jesus, you were dead unto your sins? Your spirit man was dead. There was no life. But the moment you said yes to Jesus, you invited him into your life, guess what? All of a sudden, your spirit man became alive. The problem, I think, sometimes with us as believers is we understand that idea, but we don't understand that not only has he redeemed your spirit man, but he's also paid a price for your soul. You say, what? I want to talk about a redeemed soul a bit. Because out of our soul, sometimes we misinterpret what it is that God's trying to communicate to us. And the more we're aware of what he's doing in our lives, the more I believe we can step into those opportunities that God gives to us to bring the kingdom of heaven here to earth, to bring change. How many would say, PB, I really desire to be used of God and make a difference in the world. I don't know if there's a person on the planet that doesn't want to make a difference in the world, right? I really believe with all of my heart that there's not one person in this room that God can't use and won't use, won't choose to use, if only we're willing. But even our willingness, we've got to give him permission to change some of how we think. I want to look at this morning and see if we can't extract a few things from this passage of scripture that might help us in the process. How many agree that, you know, we're made up of triune beings, a spirit, soul, body? It's pretty complex. I mean, sometimes it's hard to differentiate between spirit man, soul man, body, all that. But the reality is we are definitely complex triune beings. That Paul says, while we're waiting to for the return of Jesus, he says, we're to keep watch over the whole person. And that could be a little overwhelming. How do I keep watch over the whole person? And I hope that the next few weeks we can unpackage this a bit, that we give you some tangible tools that will take you from maybe the way you're living today into the next step of a relationship with Jesus. Now, I'm not talking... No, back up. I'm not going to say that. I'll wait till later. See, those of you that came to Christ this morning, understand something. That God, in that moment, he redeemed you from a life of sin now into a life in him. You became a new creation in Jesus. And the idea of redemption is really a cool thing. We find in Ephesians, let me read this for you, Ephesians chapter, let's go to Colossians. Go to Colossians 1, 14, 13 and 14. It says these words. It says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have what? Redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, the idea of redemption can actually be described or defined in maybe another way, another rendering of that. You might think of the word ransom when we think of the word redeemed. Before we can really understand how we're to go after this idea in 1 Thessalonians of preserving the whole person until he comes back, you have to understand what redemption is. Because if he's redeemed something, then we need to be able, through redemption, to step into those promises that he's given to us, knowing that he redeemed us or he's paid a price for you and I to do what's been offered. Hope that made sense. Check this out. The idea of ransom, it's a price paid to redeem or buy back someone who had become enslaved or something had been lost to someone else. Jesus said these words in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, I think it is. He said these, because I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. In other words, Jesus paid a ransom, his life, so that you and I could live free in a place of absolutely freedom, knowing that we've been restored from death now unto life. He's redeemed us. Does that make sense? If you redeem, like, how many of you collect plastic bottles and glass and you've got a recycling can at home? Everybody have one of those? Right? How many of you trip over your cans in those goods all the time because you don't take them in to get them redeemed? How frustrating is that? I'm speaking out of my own soul right now. But the beauty of that is if you take those cans, right, and you take it to a redemption center, they're going to do what? They're going to give you some money for those cans. It's redemption. Now let's look at this idea of redemption and see if we can't explain a bit of what God wants to do to us. In Life Tracks, we teach something that I've spoke on many, many times, but we talk about the spirit, the soul, the body. I want to define some things for you right now so you understand that in the context of living out of a redeemed soul, you need to understand how the soul works. We know what the spirit is, so I'm going to go beyond. Let's go right into the soul. The soul, most scholars would believe some variations of this, but would say that the soul is made up of three parts. It's made up of your mind, which would be considered maybe your intellect, your will, which I would suggest it to be this. It's the dreaming part or the imagination part of your soul. And the third part, which most of us probably know very, very well, is the emotion part. And that emotional part, and I like how this says it, the emotional part of our soul, it governs our interactions and establishes relational boundaries with people. Thus, it enables us to feel things, emotions, to feel things like guilt or joy. So if we already have, I'll say it this way, we need to understand if you've come to Christ, you already have a redeemed or a restored soul because of what Jesus did on the cross. Make sense? Jesus took care of that once and for all when we went to the cross. But God promises something to us when it comes to that soulical part of us. Because here's the reality of a lot of our journeys with Christ. We're supposed to live out of our spirit man, right? That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is such a wonderful thing. When you pray in a language, I call it our love language, in a language that is, excuse me, not of this world, but supernatural in nature, you pray in a spirit that doesn't profit what? Your mind. It strengthens your spirit man. It helps you to understand what God's trying to communicate and trying to say to us. It strengthens us vertically so that on a horizontal level, we can be the sons and daughters he's created us to be. I encourage anyone that's baptized in the Holy Spirit, and if you're wondering what that is, it's a doctrine of this church that we believe in. God wants to baptize every single person, not just in water, not being born again, but he wants to baptize us in his Holy Spirit with an experience that comes out of that baptism called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the manifestation of that is speaking in tongues. Now, we've talked about that a little bit. We know it's in some circles very controversial, but it's not in this house. The more you pray in the Spirit, the stronger your spirit man becomes. Then what's the problem with a lot of us? The problem with a lot of us is we forget that and we neglect preserving the soul of our lives. And we live sometimes out of a soulical nature. We live sometimes out of unhealthy mindsets. We live sometimes out of unhealthy emotion. We live sometimes out of an inability to process things in a healthy way. Because spirit, soul, body, I want the manifestation of my healthy life, my spiritual life, my soulical life. I want it to manifest in my relationships. I want it to manifest in what I do for God. I want it to manifest through a pure flow of Holy Spirit in everything I do. So a good question this morning is how do you feel like you're doing in the context of walking in emotional health, of walking in a place where God is, you understand, he's redeeming your imagination. He wants to redeem your capacity to dream dreams. He wants you to understand he paid a price so that everyone in this room can be a creative. You see, we think that the creative is the person that like why are you laughing right now? What Sarah was doing, it is creative. Or over here. Right? That's my flagging. Those are forms of creativity. Right? But designing a graphic is creative. Because God can give you dreams about what things should look like. And playing a drum is creative. And be able to not only use a microphone, well, we had a problem doing that a little while ago, microphone, but to be able to make a microphone. See, God, there's not a person in the room that God won't use in a creative fashion if only you understand that if he created you for such a time to dream dreams, to make a difference in the culture, to make a difference in the world. Right? But 1 Thessalonians says something very interesting. It says, now may the God, I love this, may you be strengthened. That's Colossians, I'm not there. It said, May the God of peace himself, may the God who walks in Irene, he is the essence of peace. There is no anxiety. There is no emotional turmoil. There is no lack of, he's God in flesh. God, Irene, he himself will help preserve your body, your soul, and your spirit. But it said, let's go on. God promises to guard, in 1 Thessalonians, our whole being from loss or from injury, as well as continuing to grow us in maturity. It says he will guard your soul, your whole being, from loss or injury. How many people in this room have had trauma that's affected your entire life? Many of you. And God wants to bring restoration and healing to that trauma. Pastor Danny shared with us a number of times about trauma. I won't even attempt to explain it, but there is ways in which God can use certain tools to take the trauma, put it where it needs to be so it can be dealt with and not left in a place where it just resides. We sometimes wonder, well, why do I experience this and that? Why do I manifest my life? Why? And it could simply be that God, the God of all creation, the God of Irene, the God of peace, wants to show you how you can break free of that trauma, free of emotional baggage, free of these things that keep us from walking in our destinies. There's not a person in this room, my friend, that God doesn't want to raise up, and he is, I believe he is, but give him permission to teach you how to preserve your whole being, how to walk in wholeness, how to walk the way that God called you to walk. You know, let's go back to Adam and Eve for a moment. Let me see if I can articulate this thought to you. Adam and Eve in the garden, I believe that was a perfect environment. I believe that their soulful nature, their mind, their will was perfect in everywhere. There was nothing that was filtered in a way that was bad until a decision was made. See, it's a perfect picture of what a redeemed soul can look like and how it can function. Remember when they would walk through the garden, it was perfect union between they and God. There was nothing that hindered their communication with the Father. Nothing. They could walk naked in the garden and not feel shame, not feel what everybody except for people that hang out at places that they shouldn't. You could walk in nakedness and not feel weird. Right? They had this perfect relationship with God the Father. It was the highest capacity, if you will, of relationship with the Father. But once a decision was made to go against what God said, don't touch, don't eat from this particular tree. What happened? Once that decision was made, that actually was soulical in nature. That perfect union of the souls was now impaired. Was impaired. And from that moment on, we see how the soul, decisions, emotions, dreaming is interspersed and communicated and shown throughout the entire Bible. See, God wants to teach us how we can navigate life out of a redeemed soul. How Holy Spirit will come alongside of us and help us preserve the spirit man, the soulical nature in our bodies. The outcome of that would be a union relationship with Christ that like we never had before. Right? In Isaiah chapter 6, I'll share this and then we're going to go home. I'm just going to open up. This is almost like an introduction to what I want to talk about. But In Isaiah chapter 6, we have a story there that most of you probably know. In verses 1 through probably about verse 7, we find these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. You know the story, right? High and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the entire temple. Be like if we liken the temple unto the building of a church like this. He said his entire train of his robe filled the temple. I mean, that's pretty majestic, pretty crazy. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face, and with two, he covered his feet, and with two, he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke or the aroma of heaven. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Verse 6 says this, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth, and he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is now atoned for.'" What I think a redeemed imagination could look like can be found here in this Old Testament passage. And I'm just going to paraphrase it for the sake of time. But in the realm of God's presence, in the realm of his glory, like we are experiencing today, we can sometimes feel overwhelmed with his presence. Like a moment ago, I was overwhelmed when Pastor Craig was leading us towards some of you saying yes to Jesus and receiving him into your life. I felt such a sense of the glory of God. I was overwhelmed. And like you find here in Isaiah, I think we can honestly look at this and go, the glory of God was so marvelous and so powerful that Isaiah was a bit overwhelmed and began to sense his brokenness, begin to recognize, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe is me, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a place and a people that are far from you." Sounds a little bit like America, a little bit like our world right now. And when we stand in the presence of God, it sometimes feels like he's gonna crush us. Like all of my sin is being exposed, and I'm just this person that's so impure and so ungodly that I don't even know him. But yet in the atmosphere of the glory, the atmosphere of heaven's domain, we aren't crushed. But the fact of the matter is, we're being transformed in the moment. He's revealing his nature to you and I in his presence, in his glory. Why do you think we don't just sing songs? Why do you think we're not concerned about growing church, but we're more interested in growing the kingdom of God? Why do you think it's more important for us to usher in his presence through worship, through prayer? Why? Because in the glory, in the presence of Almighty God, you might be exposed. We're going to talk about this in the weeks to come, but we're going to talk a bit about conviction. We want to talk about what happens when God's presence manifests himself. We need to pay attention, because in the moment of his glory, he begins to reveal things to our soul, to our spiritual nature. And he says, "In order for me to preserve you until I send my son back, I need you, son and daughter, to look at these things, to pay attention, because there's some things in your life that I need you to remove." And it's in the fire of his glory. It's in that place where we recognize our brokenness. We recognize that without him, we are nothing. It's in that place where it says this. In verse 6, "Then one of the seraphim flew, one of the angels flew to me, Isaiah, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. And it goes on to say, not only was it being what? He's being restored. He was being renewed. He was beginning to recognize the awe of God. But it says this. It touched him so deeply that it says in verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, here am I. Here am I, God, send me. The one that just a moment ago felt so worthless. The one a moment ago in the glory of God, I felt like I couldn't accomplish anything. And then you came in your glory and you touched my lips. You touched my heart. You seared my heart. You sealed it. Send me, God. And now Isaiah is aware of who he really is. Once you and I become aware of who we really are, then this soul part of us lines up with our spirit man, and what we think, what we feel, what we know, how we dream becomes all about Jesus. It becomes all about the Spirit of God inside of us saying, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to touch? Who can I release in the moment? Who? Now, I don't know. There's a song that we used to sing a long time ago. If I was gutsy, I'd sit down and try to play it because it says this. If you can use anyone, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anyone, Lord, you can use me. Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet. The idea behind that is, God, I give you permission to send me wherever you want me to go. And I want to leave you with this thought this morning, because Crosspoint Life Church is probably in the best place it's been for a long, long time. I'm so encouraged by what I see and hear and sense in so many of you in this room. Yesterday, I can't tell you how proud I was. And I walked up to that fire station. I saw a big banner that said City Hope. And I got to the table to pay for our tickets, and there was a table to the left of the registration table, and there was our City Hope team in their shirts. It said City Hope, beautiful table with information, with their new lanyards around their neck, with their faces and their pictures of, and just walking around. I got to walk around and just almost like it was a church service. I walk around shaking hands with people I didn't know. Like, hey, thanks for coming. Hey, welcome.
Crosspoint.
Welcome. Right? People would say this. Here's the question they'd ask us. They go, hey, tell me about City Hope. What's this about? Kenny was sitting by a family, a mom and a dad and four kids, three girls and a boy, seven and younger. And they were asking the question, tell us about City Hope. Got to tell them about City Hope. Why am I saying that? Because the place we're in right now, this whole idea of Isaiah being in the glory of God, being in the realm of the Spirit, and him saying, you've touched me, now send me. This church is always supposed to have been about ascending. It's always supposed to have been about that. And sometimes we get a little caught up in all the revival stuff. We get all shabba dabba ding dong, and We focus on more what's happening inside than we do on the outside. But I'll tell you what, we need those moments of the altar. We need the glory of God to refire us on Sunday so we become the ecclesia Monday through Saturday. So you leave here with governing authority as sons and daughters, and you're sent out from this building to go seize the day. We are the sent ones, and in the years to come, we're going to actually refine this even more so to be who God's called us to be. No matter what's happening in any other church in the region, God's given us an assignment. He's given us a job to do. He's given us a job to do. And that job is to be the ecclesia. That job is to learn how to love a city and to touch our world in a greater capacity. That job is our job to do together. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning as we leave this house. I'm going to ask you, is there anybody here that would join me, like in the words of Isaiah, that would say, God, I thank you for touching my life. I thank you for salvation. I thank you I'm walking with you. I thank you, God, that you're restoring me and healing me and strengthening me. But God, I thank you for that. But now, Lord, I want to say this to you. Here I am. Send me. If that's you this morning and you feel like God is breathing on that and you want to be a sent one and you want to be trained, you want to be equipped, you want to be someone that makes a difference in the culture that you live and you want to be on the mountains of society and be a part of City Hope Transformation, if that's you today, I want you to stand as a prophetic statement that, God, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm willing to do that. If that's you, stand and say, here I am, send me. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. None of us in this room are perfect. None of us in this room are faultless. But because of Jesus, every day we can wake up and say, here I am, send me. And Father, I thank you for every man and woman that's standing right now. It's not an indictment for anyone that didn't stand, because it's not about right, wrong. It's really just about the moment and saying, God, I am that. I want to be used of you. And God says, I will use you. But when I touch you with the fire from my altar, let it not push you away, but let it refine you. Let it bring healing. Let it be that moment when I continue to restore that soul local part of you, so that what comes out of you is the perfect flow of heaven here on earth. The Father says to some of you in this room, I'm doing a work in you. Trust the process. Do not look left. Do not look right. Do not look behind you. But trust me in this process, because I will raise you up in my due time, in my season. I will lift you up. I will position you. I will place you where you need to be. Don't hijack the process. Don't get ahead of yourself. Do trust me in this process, because when the time comes and I put you out there, watch the fruit of my labor, watch the fruit of my hands, watch what I do when you've given me permission to be your daddy. Now lift up your hands to the Father and just say, I give you permission to continue the process in my life. I give you permission to teach me, mold me, form me, so I might look more and more like you, Jesus. I thank you that I've been redeemed. I thank you that you paid a price. I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. But I also thank you that you came out of the tomb 3 days later. And because of that fact, resurrection life lives inside of me. I have authority. I have power to live a life that's pleasing to you and to make a difference in the world. I thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.